At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the WTF1 podcast, Activate Waving Puppets edition of Tommy and Katie. Of course, we are talking about the Spanish Grand Prix, the Circuit de Barcelona, Catalunya, where we had very little expectations, didn't we? We thought that, well, I think I tweeted on the run-up to it, if we had one overtake, it would be a banger. And actually, well, we got a few more than that, and one of them was for the lead. So overall, I think it's going to be a rather positive podcast for something that we expected to be talking about putting the track in the bin. I'm pretty sure that was our last time they raced there. Thumbnail was should the Circuit de Barcelona Catalunya be removed? And there's still arguments. Anyway, Tommy, of course, is the WTF1 founder. Just thought I'd put that in there. It's in my contract, as always. And Katie, the WTF1 editor.
People will actually believe
you. Believe that, yeah, because it's true. Say it. Right. Three-word race reviews. Let's dive straight in. Ermsey says Hungary part two. Aaron underscore W01, actually decent racing. And Sage underscore 1298, remove from calendar. Well, I mean, that couldn't be any more of two different three-word race reviews there. I disagree with Sage. I mean, do I disagree or do I think that it was an okay race? Yeah.
Was it a one-off?
We'll get onto that last chicane, I'm sure, at some point. But I think if that was to be changed, I probably wouldn't call it to be removed because I think it's actually quite a nice it's a nice track. It's just no one can overtake there. I think it's two different things. You've got the likes of Sochi, which I think is a terrible track. And then you've got Spain, which I don't think is a terrible track, but no one can overtake. So I feel like there's two different definitions.
It made the race better, if anything, that you couldn't overtake because, and this is, while everyone's going to jump in and say this is just you covering yourself for Monaco, absolutely yes, that the race was actually quite good because overtaking was difficult because the pace, I mean, we'll go into it, the pace of Lewis was so good that maybe on a easy track to overtake, we wouldn't have had that intriguing strategy battle because he could have just breezed past him in the DRS.
No, it certainly was a surprise to have as much action as we did in Spain, because like you say, we all think Spain's going to be really boring and it's going to be a snooze fest and it's a chance for an afternoon nap. But actually, it proved to be quite a decent race for Spain, considering. I don't know if I want it necessarily removed from the calendar. I mean, it might have been helped this year that we didn't go testing there, which is why the action was particularly good. But I know that a lot of fans find that Spanish track really accessible. And, for young fans visiting a first Grand Prix, you know, Spain's normally quite a good one for them. So for that reason, I'd quite like it to stay on the calendar.
Yeah, no one who watches Formula One is going to be thinking about the fans that attend the Grand Prix, are they, though? Because unfortunately, there are a lot more millions watching on TV than there are going to the track, as much as, you know, it is lovely for fans to be able to go to a track and enjoy it. And of course, you know, Spanish fans are really, really passionate as well, especially, you know, when Fernando Alonso was winning and whatnot. But I think we give it a chance until the new regs. And then if it's still not great, get rid of it. I think that's pretty much it. Because
we decide.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we've got the choice.
The whole of Formula One and Liberty Media watch this podcast. Definitely. Right, my three-word race review. Hurry up, Perez. Look, I know people are going to be like, look, mate, you just any excuse to bash the second Red Bull seat, because I feel like I am always the one to be very outspoken on this sort of stuff. But I'll take it. I'll take the heat, because, yes, there are times where, well, there is time for Perez to get used to that Red Bull seat. We're now four races in, okay? And I'm not expecting him to be beating Max Verstappen. However, that hole in qualifying, which I mentioned in IBR, between Bottas and Leclerc was enormous. It was about 0.7 of a second. Perez not slotting in there, I know. He says his shoulder was bad and he wasn't well and, you know, this sort of stuff. But there's, you still have to do your job. As much as, you know, you either don't race because you can't race, or you race and you do your best as you can. For me, I don't buy excuses like that, because we can't measure it as an outsider as to whether how bad this injury is. You know, he might have just had a bit of a hurting shoulder, and then he goes, oh, you know, pop that in an interview. So for me, I'm still willing to give Perez a few more races, but I feel like he's taken a
backward step, if anything. Imola, there was a little bit of hope, at least in qualifying, of course, not in the race. Portimao, there was a little bit of hope in the race because his pace was okay, but he had fallen back, unfortunately, and then couldn't really get anywhere near the front three. So I just feel like he needs to get on top of this. Of course, you know, he's going to be working so hard to get on top of it, but he shouldn't escape the criticism that I gave Albon and a lot of people gave Albon, and the same for Gasly as well. We can't give him half a season to get him used to the car, because that's game over in the Constructors' Championship, and most likely the drivers too, because Mercedes can just play any game they want with strategy.
Yeah, it seems odd to blame Perez for Verstappen not winning, but you're absolutely right. If Perez was in the mix and, like you say, slots into that gap, that massive gap between Bottas and Leclerc, and gets a decent race, it changes the whole race. It really does. It sounds odd if you just look at it on face value, but Mercedes could only do that strategy with Hamilton because they could pit him in a gap and they had Bottas to play with. If Perez is there, he could have held him up, or they might simply have not even tried to do it because they know he'd be so hard to pass in a quick car that they can't do it. But because Perez wasn't there, Mercedes could just go, oh, well, we do it. Worst case scenario, we're second anyway. Whereas if Perez was there, you know, they're gambling whether they could potentially finish fourth or win the race, not second or win the race. So yeah, Perez, not a great weekend. And when the title is so close, you're right, they need him up to speed now, not in 6, 7, 8 races.
Exactly. I think that's probably one of the reasons why they opted to bring Sergio Perez into the team, because he's a highly experienced driver. And I think they probably hoped that he would be able to make that jump really quickly. And, you know, as much as I've said on this podcast before, I'm a Checo fan, you know, I want him to do well. I thought his time at Red Bull was just going to be like the making of him and finally get that chance. You have to say, looking at the numbers, that he just hasn't met everyone's expectations in these first four races. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, you touched upon him having a bad shoulder or muscle pains on Saturday. He said he felt dizzy behind the wheel of the car and, you know, said that's why he spun in quali. But, you know, you have to look at that as maybe an isolated thing. But then the three races prior, he's still having, you know, shockers of races, and he needs to be up at the front, like you say, help Verstappen, not only aiding him like as a wingman, if you want to refer to him as that, but also to help Red Bull get those constructors points, because otherwise it's going to be like every other year and Mercedes are just going to run clear while Checo is struggling, you know, in fifth and sixth and seventh. So it's tough, but I think I figured out why Checo is having such a bad time. And that is because I keep jinxing him by predicting he's going to do well in the podcast. So hopefully from this point onwards, he's going to have a wonderful time.
I was about to come on to a question from Pilkey, who says, what do you feel Perez needs to improve to do to improve in the Red Bull? And well, there you go. It's not
get me off the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. It's all your fault, Katie.
Yeet me off.
Yeet you off. In terms of that question, it's obviously very difficult. You know, he needs to get on top of the one lap pace. He also needs to get on top of race pace. And, you know, he says that, you know, he's dizzy behind the car and stuff, and that's why he spun. You have to take that with a pinch of salt, because, you know, racing drivers say all kinds of stuff, you know, especially to protect their image, that no one can verify if he was feeling dizzy apart from himself. You know, a lot of people would argue that it was the pressure, you know, and the fact that, you know, it's just starting to mount on a little bit now. You know, we are four races in. Of course, we didn't have as much testing as we've had in previous years, but, you know, Carlos Sainz isn't doing too bad of a job in that Ferrari, it has to be said. Danny Ricks certainly getting on top of that McLaren. So you're seeing the sort of like for likes in terms of new drivers at new teams. Red Bull just seems to be a running trend of number two drivers having absolutely no hope against Max Verstappen. And there's part of me just thinking now that Max is the only one that can drive that car. You know, you look back to Daniel Ricciardo, and obviously he was the one that has been as close as anyone to Max Verstappen, but that was kind of in Max's early days at Red Bull and perhaps didn't change the car as much as he has now to his own liking. So, yeah, bit of a weird one. Let's move on to Red Bull strategy. BYD Rob, why didn't Red Bull pit Max when they knew Merck were going to do the same strategy as in Hungary 2019? The benefit of hindsight is an amazing thing. And I personally think that if they did pit, Hamilton stays out and probably wins the race. And everyone's going to go, well, why the hell did you relinquish track position to Hamilton? You know, because you didn't have the pace or whatever. I just feel like whatever Red Bull did, they were pretty screwed. And as much as they could see it coming with the tyre strategy, I think they could have done the only thing that they could have done. And I was watching the race back last night, was that potentially they could have pit Max the next lap and still been ahead of Lewis Hamilton on soft tyres as well. Because when you look at the stint lengths of the soft tyre at the first of Max's first stint, it was about the same as where he could have pit that second part. So they could have done something different, because again, Max was the only one of that the front five to have a fresh set of softs as well. So I think there was things that they could have done, but certainly Max staying out was an option and they went for it. And unfortunately, Max's tyres continued to drop off. Lewis's was still in a reasonably good condition. And Lewis Hamilton's medium tyres weren't new either. They were six lap old mediums when he whacked them on. So, you know, it's all hindsight at the end of the day. And we would have probably had a go at them had they pitted and Lewis won that way.
Exactly. Lewis was a lot quicker. You could see he could catch Max after the first stop and get really close to him, where it looked like he was probably going to get him within DRS anyway. So obviously Max dived into the pit, or then the second time Lewis dived into the pits to say, like, let's try something new. It's hindsight. If Red Bull had pitted Max immediately after Hamilton, they might have, one, had a slow stop like they did at the start and cost them the race, or even Hamilton just got the undercut because he was right behind him anyway. I don't know how close it was. You say maybe he might have been able to, but again, it was obviously touch and go. But if they'd done that, the whole Twitter storm afterwards would have been exactly the same of, why on earth would Red Bull pit Max? And when you're in the lead of the race at a track like Barcelona, where you can't overtake. And one thing I've not seen mentioned really is that Bottas was in the mix. So if Verstappen had pitted, obviously Hamilton had the luxury of Bottas getting out of the way, kind of. Max would have had to overtake Bottas, which we know would be extremely difficult. And then we could have had a situation where Max had maybe even lost to Lewis in the pit stops and Bottas and finished third. And then Bottas just lets Hamilton through, wins the race, and he's lost even more points. So it's all hindsight. It's easy to look back on this and go, oh, they knew exactly what was happening, because they even mentioned themselves on the team radio, we've got a repeat of Hungary. But if Lewis didn't have the tyre life and stayed out, we'd have been calling Red Bull geniuses for staying out. It's always easy in hindsight, isn't it, at the end of the race to go, oh, this, now we know the result, I'm now going to blame them for a terrible strategy.
Yeah, no, it was quite interesting after the race, because Sky F1 had Christian Horner and Toto Wolff there discussing this whole thing. And Christian Horner basically said that he didn't think that Red Bull would be able to beat Mercedes in Spain. He said, you know, in fairness, hats off to Mercedes and Lewis. They were just quicker than we were today. And the fact they could follow so close through the first two stints of the race. So we knew that they were probably going to catch us. And Toto responded by saying, you know, being in second place made it easier when you have the gap to make that call. So it was probably a case of who's going to blink first and change the strategy up and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a mix of Mercedes just being superior when they're making these strategy calls. It seems to just work out for them. And Red Bull, like you say, if they made the decision to pit Max as a response, whether that would have been just a rash, like, impulse decision and, you know, would have worked out for them, or whether they were better just to leave Max out there. So regardless, I think Mercedes just pit them to the post this race, and Red Bull were probably going to have trouble regardless because of Mercedes' strategy. So,
yeah, back to your point, Tommy. I don't think Bottas gets out of the way at all if both of them pit. And we've probably got a really good race at that point, because Bottas will be leading and he wouldn't be pitting again, probably, or at least he'd try that. Yeah. So I think we'd even have an even better race that way. And you'd have to think that Max would cruise up to the back of Verstappen, cruise up to the back of Bottas on softs and get past. But yeah, it's these sort of things that where the tyres were a little bit of an unknown. The track temperature was a lot cooler than what it was previously on the days gone by. So a lot of their data was kind of out the window. If anything, FP1 was probably the most, data accurate to the race, just purely because of the temperatures. So for them, they didn't really know how long the mediums would go. And that's why we saw so many late pit stops. Of course, some of it was to attack the fastest lap, but also, you know, the likes of Fernando Alonso trying to go all the way to the end of the mediums and it didn't work out. So yeah, it's hindsight. We all look like geniuses when we know what's happened, and they have to react to what's going on. Cali_Dreamin85, did Verstappen set too fast a pace after his lap one overtake without Perez nearby to almost gift Hamilton the buffer needed to get a free second stop to have that as an available alternative strategy? I feel like my brain just exploded reading that.
That seems like way too many than 280 characters as well for Twitter.
Yeah, that's impressive. After his lap one overtake without Perez nearby, what is he trying to say here, Tommy?
From my understanding, it's that why did Max go so fast at the start when maybe he could have kept the pack together a bit more or saved his tyres? But it's kind of
go so fast at the start, but Hamilton was a second behind him the entire time.
Yeah, it's hard to blame Verstappen on that one. For
if he goes any slower, he's getting overtaken.
Yeah, well, you saw that Hamilton was really close and Hamilton's pushing him every single lap. So at the end of the day, to kind of quote Bottas, I guess, you run your own race, don't you? And
so what Cali Dream in 85 is trying to say is, why didn't he back the lot into Perez? Which is, it's not Monaco, that's in 2 weeks time, this is Spain, and that as much as we say that overtaking is difficult, backing them into the rest, it wouldn't have worked. Hamilton had so much more pace than Verstappen. You could see it with how close he was able to follow. I think that's what Verstappen said after the race, was the fact that Hamilton could just stay within 1.2 seconds was just, you know, it just showed that Mercedes had so much more grip. So a little bit of a scary thought for the rest of the season, because Spain is seen as that benchmark in terms of the running form going for the rest of the season.
Yeah, so, sorry, in Portimao as well, that Mercedes seemed to be a lot more kind on the tyres, even though Red Bull potentially maybe fastest in like a low fuel quali trim, soft tyres going absolutely ham, but yeah, Mercedes look pretty, like I'd say, fair bit better maybe in the race, because they can clearly manage their tyres a lot better. Like, and Max was doing everything he could to stay ahead, but unfortunately, yeah, couldn't quite do it.
Yeah, no, I think just echoing your points, guys. You know, I think we said before that Max probably needed Checo up the front there to help him a bit, but I guess you being in first, you are racing on the limit and you're going to wear your tyres probably a lot quicker than if you're further down the grid. So yeah, I think it's kind of already been answered.
Cool. Tommy, 3-word race review, please. 3-word race review. I didn't really say that out loud. 3-word race review.
One is classic title fight. And this is just kind of a nice positive message after another lovely race.
I love it. I love your tweets that like, hear me out. So, and basically just says the complete opposite of what everyone else
is. Is that the voice you read it in?
Hear me out.
Monaco is the best track in the world and overtaking is so easy that drivers are all terrible. This title fight reminds me of those classic ones that I grew up as a kid, like the Hakkinen and Schumacher fight, where you've got two drivers in two different cars. They're absolutely miles ahead of their teammate and the two of them are just raising both their games every single race, and it's absolutely incredible to watch. I mean, the craziest stat from the race for me is that despite everything, this is the best start to a season Hamilton's ever had, and Verstappen too, obviously. So I think both drivers deserve a huge amount of credit. You know, Max in his first proper title bid, to be able to stick with Hamilton when he's essentially, like we said, had the best start he's ever had to an F1 season. And obviously huge credit to Hamilton as well for raising his game when everyone said, oh, well, you know, if someone could actually race him, he'd be getting overtaken and it'd be rubbish. And he's had the best ever start to a season, is driving absolutely incredible. So I'm absolutely loving this title fight. And yeah, four from four now that we've had wheel-to-wheel battles with Max and Lewis. You've got to love it.
That's the dream, isn't it? That's the dream. As much as people are like, oh, I'd rather have more difficult overtaking. It's like, come on. We've had four side-by-side moments between Hamilton and Verstappen. Literally, our wet dreams are coming true. And people are like, no, actually, I would have liked a more difficult overtake for Hamilton down the straight.
Can't have it all.
Accept that this is awesome. The fact that it is Hamilton versus Verstappen. Verstappen's still very much in the title fight. Let's ask this question, which made me very angry. At Beta Alpha Male, is the championship over?
Rosberg explosion.
Yeah, I was going to say, are we going to edit explosions in behind us?
It's 23 rounds. We're four rounds in. Hamilton's not even a race win clear. Is the championship over?
Yeah, we've seen people complaining that. Yeah, I've seen a few people on Twitter like laughing.
People complaining on Twitter, surely not, Tommy.
It's not a real title fight. It's already over. I mean, we have waited so long for a title fight. If you'd have said last year when, let's admit, the rules, we thought it's going to be the same story. Mercedes absolutely whitewashed the race. If you'd have said in four races, you'd get four wheel-to-wheel battles between Max and Lewis, there'd be 1-2 in every single race and there'd be a 14-point gap. You'd be in absolute dreamland. So just enjoy it. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm absolutely loving it. And exactly. You should appreciate it.
Yeah, I think even if you had said that we'll be getting battles for the lead between somebody like Hamilton and Bottas, who are obviously the same team, we'd all...
You know you're in dreamland then.
Yeah, that's true. but we'd all be super excited. So to have Hamilton and Verstappen, two drivers from two different teams, and, you know, there's actually going to be competition in hopefully the Constructors' Championship this year as well, which will be a nice change because it's normally Mercedes that absolutely walk it. I think this is just phenomenal. And I'm so excited as somebody who's been watching F1 for many, many, many years that we're able to witness this and see Hamilton, you know, like Hamilton got his 100th pole this weekend. Like we're literally watching the history books being rewritten in front of us whilst having this insane action on the Sunday, you know, passes for the lead. It's just literally, it's perfect. Just stop your complaining and appreciate what's in front of you, please.
Good. That's the way Katie's going to deal with all the criticism that she's seen on social media. The one thing that's kind of bugged me a little bit, and it's just a very tiny little thing, is people saying, and I'm not having a go at you here, Katie, he's breaking records. He didn't break any record. He just hit three figures. Everyone's like, he's broken another record. No. No one was on 99 poles. It's just three figures.
The meme of him handing himself the helmet.
Literally, he beat his own record and he's now at 100.
Yeah.
For my own.
Witnessing history.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay, I wasn't having a go at you, Katie. It was more.
No, it's too late. I'm very upset now.
I can see that. And just for my own brain, I'd love it if Hamilton can win the next two races without getting pole, just so that we can have 100 and 100. And then I think he should just hang up his gloves there, even if it's mid-season. Just
see that, guys.
It just looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Either way, to answer your question, Beta Alpha Male, no. We interrupt this WTF1 podcast for a very quick chat about our sponsor for this episode, ExpressVPN. One of the main reasons people love ExpressVPN is the use of Netflix. See, thousands of shows on Netflix are only available outside of the UK, so you need to change your country if you want to access them. What the ExpressVPN app does is encrypts your data and reroutes it through a server location of your choice. This not only protects your data, but also lets you control which country you want Netflix to think you're in. ExpressVPN lets you choose from over 90 countries, so every time you run out of stuff to watch, you can just fire up the app on your laptop or smart TV, switch your country, and hit connect. So be smart, protect your data, and stop paying full price for streaming services while only getting access to a fraction of their content. Visit expressvpn.com/WTF1 right now and get 3 extra months of their service for free. That's expressvpn.com/WTF1. expressvpn.com/WTF1 to learn more. Right, let's get back to the podcast. Katie, 3-word race review, please.
My 3-word race review is don't underestimate Ferrari.
Don't
which
that's four.
No, it's not.
Underestimated Ferrari. Does that kind of work? I'll twist it. But yeah, basically, Charles Leclerc is an absolute wonder kid, which I'm sure might be like, I've told you this for ages. But
he's overrated.
Yeah. I'm going to send that to Charles Leclerc. Fake fan. But yeah, like Bahrain, sixth, Imola, fourth, Portugal, sixth, Spain, fourth. Nice little pattern going on there. But when we did our preseason podcast, I'll speak on behalf of myself. I thought this was going to be another shocker of a year for Ferrari, especially with the pace that the McLarens had. And, you know, Renault being rebranded to Alpine, they were looking promising. And same with Racing Point to become Aston Martin. I think we're all like, this is going to be a really intense midfield battle. But Ferrari just seems to be sort of not walking it, because they've still got the competition from McLaren. But Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz are putting in some really impressive performances. And I'm excited to see how that's going to progress throughout the season.
Yeah, I'd have to agree that there's two kind of standout, I think, yeah, two standout performances in the midfield of Charles Leclerc and Lando Norris. I mean, Lando had a pretty poor race this weekend, and generally just the whole weekend, to be honest, because just didn't get on top of that McLaren. His fastest lap was actually on an old set of softs in qualifying, and then didn't manage to improve. Started behind Ricciardo. I can't believe it's 3-1 to Ricciardo in qualifying. That's absolutely preposterous when you think how much Danny Ric has been struggling in the races. But yeah, of course, you know, Lando has a podium under his belt, and Charles Leclerc as well. Yeah, looking really strong. Sainz as well showed a bit of promise this weekend, and generally just kind of taking steps forward with that Ferrari. Wasn't it him that came out and saying it was like driving a completely different formula or different cars, whatever? So yeah, it's very easy for us to go, well, they're all Formula One cars, they can't be that different.
But then unless you're Yuki Tsunoda.
Yuki Tsunoda. But actually, yeah, I joke about Haas, but they actually seem to be making some steps forward. But Flacca Pinto asks, can we talk about Charles a little bit? Well, we have. His move on Bottas at the start of the race was amazing. Finally, Ferrari is doing something good, or was just luck and Charles driving? That's a question. Okay. yeah, of course, we're talking about Charles Leclerc. That move, I think, was more accidental. It's like a Lando Norris round the outside at Bahrain turn four. He's done that, I think, 3 years in a row or something. And every time he hasn't meant to do it, it's purely because the grip was there and he braked a bit later. Obviously, it's a great move going around the outside. And it was awesome to see. And Bottas was obviously just got caught up in a bit of the dirty air. And I don't really know what Valtteri was doing there, to be honest, because, you know.
Just didn't expect him, did
he? Yeah, he wasn't really looking or whatever. It's like, lap one, mate, come on. You've got a fast-starting Ferrari behind you. So it was a bit weird to hear that Bottas wasn't really looking or checking or whatever he was doing. And Charles Leclerc went all the way around the outside, and that just ruined Valtteri's race there and then. Finished, done, kaput. But then he had the safety car. We had the safety car. Bottas still couldn't get through. So then it was definitely kaput.
Yeah, Ferrari have been impressive. I agree with Katie that we were saying that they might have an absolute shocker and not be there. Look at AlphaTauri, who have really disappointed and not got really any points on the board.
Well, do you remember we were talking about signs regretting leaving McLaren and seeing the Ferraris down there?
Exactly, and he's up there. I've actually been rather impressed with Sainz, especially when you look at, you know, if he'd gone into that team and been exactly where Sebastian Vettel was, it would be, you'd have the same kind of story that you get at Red Bull, where it's like, oh, it's Charles Leclerc's team and they just favour him. But Sainz has been really solid, like getting into that team. When you say a lot of the drivers have struggled, I feel like Sainz has maybe even been one of the best of the switch drivers. And Charles Leclerc is just such a talent. I mean, if I'm being super greedy, as we mentioned earlier about, don't complain about the title fight. If we're in absolute mega, 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 mega dreamland, I'd have Charles up there and a Ferrari with them as well, because for me, they're the three like mega talents of F1, and having those three and three different cars going for the title, one can dream. But
don't listen Ferrari. To
Ferrari. Cover is.
But yeah, Ferrari. It's nice to see him slowly getting back towards the front. I did not expect them to be on it with McLaren. That's going to be a really nice fight, actually. Ferrari and McLaren for best of the rest.
It is. Yeah, sorry. I was just going to add in that, you know, Carlos has definitely been one of the people that surprised me most. Obviously, in his F1 career so far, he sort of hopscotched from place to place. He went from Toro Rosso to Renault to McLaren to Ferrari. And he's never really been anywhere for a long time to have like a true comparison to teammates. I think that's fair to say. But yeah, being against Charles is not an easy task. I mean, Sebastian Vettel, when he was leaving Ferrari, he signed on one of the racing helmets, like, you're the most difficult teammate I've had in, you know, 10 years or 15 years or something like that. So it's good that Charles is so highly rated. And like you say, I think he's definitely one of the best on the grid. But Carlos apparently has just spent his whole off season and any spare time at the factory in Maranello, which Ferrari actually came out and said, like, we don't know what to do with him because we've never had a driver that's just so dedicated and spending so much time at the factory that they're having to find all these little tasks for him to do. But obviously that is, he's reaping the rewards from that because he's having a really promising start to his season.
Good lad. There we go. There's the segment that I definitely paid both Tommy and Katie to be positive about Charles Leclerc. yeah, good stuff. Right. Moving on to Bottas a little bit and team orders. Running Waffles asks, why was Bottas such a silly goose when letting Hamilton passed?
Had to love that question.
That's a brilliant. Yeah, he was a silly goose. Why was he? One, he already knows he's out the title fight. Two, he hasn't really had any pace and it's been a little bit embarrassing for Valtteri over the course of the season so far. I mean, he's shown glimpses in qualifying, but generally speaking, race pace hasn't been there. And three, there was a slight middle finger up to Lewis. I don't know. But yeah, he just clearly was, you know, he was racing Leclerc, which is a bit of a weird thing to say out loud. But if he wanted to pit again, he needed to continue to bridge that gap to then go out and potentially do fastest lap. So I understand why he didn't want to let Hamilton through to some degree, but also he could have made it so much easier. And there were so many opportunities to just lift off the throttle. You lose half a second, cry me a river. Your teammate, who has been better than you, is fighting for the win and he needs to get through ASAP Rocky. And he just, he just made it difficult for, I was almost annoyed a little bit. I was like, Bottas, just get out the way. I want to see a fight for the lead here. But, and then he kind of turned in turn 10 and it looked quite close at the camera angle. I don't think it was as close as it looked, but it was still a little bit, yeah, just weird from Bottas. It was almost like a little bit of a toy just being thrown out the pram.
It was a bit like, why are you racing him so hard now? Not when they're actually, I do feel sorry for him. For a point, because when he's not challenging Lewis, everyone's on his back. And then when he does, everyone's like, oh, what? You know, because there is this whole like, well, you know, he needs to be sticking it to Lewis. And I guess if you're from a completely selfish point of view, you're thinking, well, this is my chance to, if he was being totally selfish, he could have said like, well, I'm fighting Lewis for the title. In his head, obviously, he is.
He's fighting Lando for P3, you mean?
He's fighting Lewis for the title, and this is my chance to get more points than him because Lewis has gone for the strategy and I'm going to stay in front. But there's probably a bit of frustration there that, yeah, I think there was frustration there. There's been a media talk, hasn't there, as well, this weekend, that there was just random out of nowhere rumour that he was going to be replaced mid-season and the team aren't very happy with him, which I think is nonsense personally. And Toto Wolff said the same thing. I guess imagine though, if because at the time, I don't think it was at that point, but definitely at the start, the team radio to Hamilton was, you are half a second, you'll catch him on the last lap. Now imagine if he had caught him on the last lap, didn't get DRS, and it had been like, oh, one more lap and Lewis would have won the race. Maybe they would have replaced him mid-season.
Exactly. Yeah. I think I can sympathise a little bit with Valtteri because, like you say, he needs to assert that dominance, because if he just let Hamilton through, then he's essentially just saying, I am number two driver. Let him through, do whatever. And we've seen from Valtteri so many times that he's not that way inclined. Like, he wants to make a statement, which you could argue maybe he should be making more of a statement in things like qualifying or at the start of the race. But for him, that point was a chance for him to show, you know, like, you're not necessarily number one here, mate. there's two of us challenging for this title fight. I can see.
if that's the messaging he's going for, it's the most pointless messaging ever.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about it. Yeah, yeah, but I mean, lots of people have questioned it, and we put an article out yesterday saying, is this a problem? Should Bottas have, let Hamilton pass that easily? And loads of people were saying, no, like, he's entitled to not let him through straight away. If Hamilton wants it, he can earn it, that kind of thing. And I do agree with that in certain parts, but like I said, if you're going to make a big deal out of letting Hamilton through, and that's going to be your big, I'm alpha male, all this kind of stuff, then you're doing it at the wrong time. Like, you need to be making those moves when it matters, like I said, like in qualifying or start of the race and stuff like that. So I can see both sides, but I agree that he was a bit of a silly goose to answer the question.
Shock that F1 fans wanted Hamilton to be held up.
Yeah, I know, literally. Yeah, I know. That's not from a neutral perspective, I can guarantee you that. But there's times for Bottas to be a silly goose, and I don't think that was one of the times, to be honest, because he was never going to keep Hamilton at bay. If there was a chance, say, for example, he's on 5-10 lap older tyres or whatever, there's not that big pace differential, then fair enough. But
there's a few laps,
night and day.
Yeah, and if there's a few laps to go, maybe you could have got on the radio and been like, well, why? I deserve to be second. I'm in second. And
exactly.
Tried to argue it. But when his 15, teammate is running a different race, it's not really there to be done, is it?
Oh, well, maybe next time. FIA team radiograph. Let's talk about that. Because that kind of came out of nowhere. Apparently, they had been discussing it for quite some time to kind of introduce this new team radio feature with the FIA. And of course, that was to do with Toto Wolff coming over the radio and basically having a go at Michael Massey for blue flags when Mazepin wasn't getting out of the way. We're actually releasing a blue flag video coming to the channel tomorrow. So find out more about the blue flags there. As for the question, at No Man Hussein, the new FIA radio graphic certainly should see more of it, right? Yes. Yes. I said in IBR I'd watch 66 laps unfiltered Toto Wolff if I could just turn off Sky commentary and let me just hear that sort of stuff. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff the fans want, I think, especially when you hear from Christian Horner and Toto Wolff and all of these big team bosses in the shows and whatnot, but you never really hear from them apart from occasionally if a strategy call needs absolutely doing, then Toto might come over and, oh my God, it's all scary. But having that sort of argument between the FIA and F1 teams, I'm absolutely down for.
Yeah, I wonder how much Netflix have inspired this bit of team radio. The fact that a lot of Drive to Survive is the whole team principals snitching on each other and stuff, and they've clearly introduced this graphic. I mean, Katie, you wrote about it and know a little bit more about what they're going to be doing with it. But it's, I mean, from a fan perspective, absolutely love the drama of it, and seeing that we're going to get hopefully more of these teams when you do hear Christian Horner saying, oh, Hamilton jumped the start there, or Toto Wolff kind of getting on the radio when things are getting spicy.
Spicy. Got it in the podcast. the whole graphic was discussed last year at some F1 commission meetings, and everybody agreed that it would be a good addition, which I agree. I think all of Twitter seemed to just go into meltdown when this graphic happened, which is, always a good thing, because it, like you say, it gave us another behind the scenes look as to what's being discussed. Michael Massey said that he doesn't often hear from Toto Wolff during races. It's quite a rare thing. So obviously Toto uses this power when he means it. So talking about blue flags and with Mazepin and stuff like that during the race. But Pitwall and the team principals, like, that's quite a common, the Pitwall and FIA is quite a common discussion that they have during the races anyway, whether that be about, like you say, so-and-so jumped the start, or people might have said Gasly didn't look like he was in his pit box this weekend and that kind of thing. So, like you said, there's always going to be team principals wanting to throw each other and the other teams under the bus a bit. And hey, if we can hear it on the graphics, then I'm all for it.
Absolutely. More and more insight is what us F1 fans need.
I can't wait for the first kind of incident where maybe a driver's moved across and it's a little bit dodgy and a team wants to get another driver a penalty. that they're directly racing with. I think that's where that graphic is going to get really, really interesting. And hopefully,
I think they'll keep it very PG. I think I don't imagine we'll see the "yeah, but Hamilton wiped us out" type vibes.
No, but they might get a few. I hope yeah, that we get
fancy a few snippets.
Okay. Yeah, I hope we do.
Yeah, I mean, I do too, but I just don't think they'll do it. But we'll see what happens. Right, play the jingle.
Now it's time for
ABCDEF.
Free time is just this, and you don't.
Yeah, it just starts having a chat.
I put it in an Imla, but forgot the other two.
Oh, ones. Brilliant! So people just hear us going, and now it's time for,
and just doing this.
Put the jingle in, Tommy. Right. Remember, you can vote too. Visit WTF1.com after the race, and you can vote too. That's probably a Katie thing. Not just like go see Katie's website and put your numbers in. Right. Actually, it's letters. Okay. Let's start with Mick Schumacher.
Oh.
Boom. Ooh. Turning it around, going to the bottom of the grid. Mick Schumacher, he's actually been showing some decent promise, in my opinion. I feel like he's getting a handle of that Haas, not starting on the back row of the grid. And generally speaking, a pretty decent race from him. So I'm verging on an A, but I think a B is probably a bit safer.
Yeah, I've gone for B as well. I think it's good. He had an amazing start, didn't he? He was up there ahead of quite a few other cars at the start, but unfortunately that Haas just doesn't have the pace to keep up. But yeah, it was a good. He's definitely doing himself a lot of favours, kind of on and off track. He's showing himself as a very kind of respectful driver as well. I think a lot of people may have seen the video of him where he sort of clattered his Haas mechanic a little bit and gave him a thumbs up, and he was on the radio genuinely really worried about him and asking if he was okay and stuff and apologising. But yeah, he's definitely, it's difficult because he's kind of the rookie comparison. You know, it would have been great if we could have had a Grosjean in there or a Magnussen to see him stack up against someone, because that is quite difficult to compare the Haas drivers. But yeah, I've gone for B.
Yeah, I've gone for B as well. Schumacher's had really good, like, last two races and been, I think, outperforming the car on some of those occasions. So yeah, B for Mick Schumacher.
And a B from the fans. It's B's all round. Lovely. Mazepin. I mean, didn't crash. Didn't spin. Did he?
No.
He was off the pace.
Yeah. What happens?
Massively.
I'm quite confused about this, because I was watching it in the race and there were some bits where maybe it was the pit stops. But I remember like looking a few times and he was like not that far behind Mick at occasional points. Maybe it's because Mick had already pitted or something. But then at the end, I always read and it's like he was a minute behind Mick. And I'm like, when did that happen?
Yeah, it is a bit weird. I'm sure there are mistakes that we don't get to see on television because other things are going on. But yeah, I'm going to give him a D.
Yeah, I've gone for D when you're a minute behind your teammate.
Yeah, not ideal. I mean, he was involved in some controversial stuff with Q1 on Saturday, where the stewards basically deemed that he had impeded Norris in qualifying. However, it's difficult looking back at the footage because, and Norris said this as well, like he could sympathise that the traffic was just absolutely insane. But yeah, it does mean that he got another penalty point on his licence. So he's now at 2 penalty points in 12 months, which is not good.
I thought it was a bit harsh that he got that penalty, because you watch it back and there was a huge cluster of cars at that final chicane, and you can understand why he just went, well, I can't really just hang here with two others behind me, I'm just going to bolt it. And obviously it didn't work out, so I didn't put much blame on him there, and I thought it was a bit harsh. Not, I mean, I say harsh, it's not like he dropped any positions on the grid, but he still got given a 3-place penalty, which is it's just brilliant, isn't it? I love the memes of like a swimmer with a bottle of water and pouring it over their head and stuff, and just that's the kind of stuff that kind of the vibes it gives us. Mazepin was given an F by the fans, no surprise there. Nicholas Latifi, he made a move at turn one at some point on a Haas, I believe. C.
Yeah, I've gone for C.
Yeah, I think C is fair.
Okay, and C for the fans. George Russell, he was kind of looking kind of pointy until
someone until people started to mention it. I was looking at the graphic the entire time and I was like, I could tweet something on the WTF1 account, but this is when inevitably he doesn't get a point and then everyone goes, why did you mention it? So I didn't mention it. And then someone did.
I don't know who you're talking about. I think then, it was Matt, maybe.
I did.
And then, he fell away with
George.
His tyres at the end because he was very close. I think it was half a second, wasn't he, off 10th at one point, looking like he might benefit from the Alonso train. If he'd maybe, it's hard to see because we didn't get to see it, but gone for a dive bomb, whatever. But his pace was still good. So,
yeah. Okay, let's give him a B.
B.
B. And sorry for tweeting about it, everyone.
No worries. B for Russell. B for the fans as well. We're going all the way with the fans, apart from Mazepin. Giovinazzi, he had a very funny incident in the pits, didn't he, where one of the tyres was flat. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, before they put it on the car.
That's a bit weird,
never,
isn't it?
Never ever seen that before. Where
no, neither have I.
With a flat tyre.
Someone was just hammering the tyre. Yeah. It's one way to kind of communicate that it's flat. So just bashing the tyre. But fair play to them for realising. I don't know how flat. It didn't look flat from a TV perspective, did it? But there you go. So someone's been in their garage and popped a little pin in there by the sounds of it.
So it's difficult with Giovinazzi because I don't like to be the person that always is just like, oh, C had a bit of an anonymous race.
But also C had a bit of an anonymous race.
Well, that's the thing. Like he was ahead of Raikkonen in qualifying, and it's really hard to judge when you have a mistake that's not your fault. But
C.
I think it's still a C, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a B. I'm going to change it up, I think. Tough. Oh, okay, I don't get to reason. Cool, oh, next one.
Reasoning?
No, I was just going to say, you know, did really good in qualifying and outbeat his teammate. Outbeat, is that? We're going to go with it.
That's not English.
I qualified his
teammate. Our WTF
one
editor here, Katie
Fair. Yeah, making up words as she goes along. And then, yeah, had an incident in the race with his tyres. It wasn't his fault, so I'm going to go B. But I've been outvoted, so who cares?
You have been outvoted and also been outvoted by the fans as well. They gave him a C. Kimi Raikkonen. I mean, he finished 12th. He was kind of on the outskirts of the points in that Alpha, although the Alpha seems to be about there, really, with the sort of Aston Martins. So,
yeah, C as well.
C for Raikkonen.
Standard Alpha Romeo.
Yeah. Double cool. C. We're going to get to the interesting one soon, I promise. And the fans gave him a C as well. Did you go for a C, Katie?
Okay, yes.
Cool. Esteban Ocon had an amazing qualifying, but ended up finishing P9. Probably didn't make the most of his race, you'd have to say. But then maybe he outperformed that Alpine on the first run in Q3. And you kind of expected him to fall back a little bit. I think it's a B.
Yeah, B. Very concerned by I'm going to be shouting in London. But
here we go. Baby, you're going to be shouting.
Very impressive, yeah. Ocon, yeah.
Yeah.
Just to remind everyone, so if Esteban Ocon beats Fernando Alonso over the course of this season, Tommy will be shouting, sorry, Esteban, in the middle of London. And if it's the other way around, Katie, you will be saying, sorry, Fernando, is that right?
That's true, but I Perfect. Don't think I'm going to need to at this rate.
Wow. Very confident. Four races in. you're the one that tweeted, is the championship over? Nico Rosberg. Right. So we're going to give, Alonso Ocon a B, and the fans gave him a B as well. Fernando Alonso, he ended up finishing very low down because he was on mediums for about 47
years. Yes, 17th.
But obviously that was down to his late pit stop, and he was kind of left out there hoping they can get him to the end in maybe a point. So I feel like just a C, to be fair.
Yeah. Never seen Alonso so happy about finishing 17th.
Yeah, I know. He's been skipping around, wasn't he?
C.
Yeah, C as well.
And C from the fans. Yuki Tsunoda. He had a poor qualifying, didn't he? Was out in Q1. And then his car turned off. So he's not really much to kind of analyse there.
About.
I think that's a D, isn't it, really?
Yeah, he definitely should have got into Q2 in an AlphaTauri.
100%. And then kind of came out and... the way in which a lot of people deciphered what he said after qualifying was that he has a different car to Gasly, but I feel like he was just saying that the two drivers have different feedback in the sense of they need different things, and he's not... I feel like that's just a language barrier.
Yeah. He's very hot-headed, as we've seen, and he definitely kind of got baited a little bit by Skylight, what you're saying, and he kind of muddled his words a bit. he just needs to remember that he is a rookie at the end of the day. He is against Gasly, who's a proven race winner, and to be not that far off him is not the end of the world. So
no.
Yeah.
I love how you changed your tune a little bit there. I mean, coming to the season, yeah, he'll beat Gasly. Yeah, he will. Yeah, he'll beat Gasly.
Yeah. Yeah. What was your prediction?
You're a rookie, mate. You're
basically
a rookie.
Yuki needs to just we've just had a little dip on the Yuki Tsunoda hype train. We're just having a little toilet break, and we'll carry on later.
Oh yeah, I forgot about those trains that stop for toilet breaks.
I was on a train once that did that.
Really?
Yeah, the toilet broke, and we had to stop at every single.
What is this podcast?
But what a story!
Oh my goodness!
What a story. Okay, so D for Tsunoda for everyone. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to give him an E because his qualifying was pretty shocking, but I feel like he didn't get a fair chance to prove himself in the race, having to stop on like lap 8. So I think a D is fair, but the fans were very split. There was D, which was the most popular one, hence why it's here. And then it was E, and then it was F. So everybody was giving him really poor grades this weekend.
Well, I'm hoping no more than people going B.
No, that was A star.
So the fans did give Tsunoda a D. Pierre Gasly, he was quite quick at the end, almost beat Ocon to the line, considering, yeah, he was kind of out of the points for a lot of the race. He kind of came strong at the end. It's difficult to tell because I think that AlphaTauri isn't actually very good at the moment, which is strange to say because they looked really strong in Bahrain. And now we're at Spain, which of course is a different track. Of course, and you know, this is supposed to be the benchmark. But to see them drop off so much and see the likes of Alpine come strong, and it's a bit of a weird one. So B, I guess it's like kind of a low B, but probably a B all the same.
I've gone for C because he did mess up at the start, didn't he?
Of course,
he rolled out his grid position. And
yeah, that's C.
It's quite a rookie error, yeah.
Yeah, I think C is a fair grade. He did a good job coming back from that, but at the end of the day, he shouldn't have misjudged the spot. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, I forgot about his 5-second penalty. So yeah, that is a C for Gasly, and the fans gave him a B. Lance Stroll finished 11th. Had a bit of a ding dong with Alonso. I don't think anything came of that, did it?
No, nothing.
Even though he went off the track, but he was forced. So.
This is your classic C. I think Aston Martin are worryingly becoming Alfa Romeo thing, where we just say,
"See,
yeah, they finished in the midfield. They finished between 11th and 15th."
Yeah,
which is
we'll do Vettel as well, then, shall we? C.
C. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's a pair of C's for the fans as well for those two. Carlos Sainz. So he ended up finishing P7. I think tantalizingly close to Danny Ric the entire race, pretty much. I think it's a B for Sainz.
Yeah, B.
Yeah.
B.
B. And B from the fans as well. Charles Leclerc, I think this deserves... I was going to say an A star, just purely because I don't think he could have done any more in that Ferrari. But then at the same time, I feel like it's reserved for very special performances. So
and
I'm
part of you is also worried that you'll get called a fanboy. But
oh, no, I'm not worried.
Makes you feel any better.
I get called that every day anyway, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, okay. I could be critical and they'll be like, oh, you're just a fanboy. How does that work? Yeah, okay, I think an A.
I've got an A star. I think it's absolutely
okay,
perfect
A star,
all weekend.
If you said it, an A star.
Well, I've got an A star as well.
Oh, thank God for that.
Whew.
This is the problem.
I just like watching you squirm.
Yeah. Best he could have done in quality, best he could have done in the race.
Okay, cool. Amazing. Yes, A star. And the fans gave him an A. So there you go. Daniel Ricciardo. So I would give Danny Ric an A. I think he's had a solid performance, considering where he has been. And to perform how he did yesterday, I think it deserves a low A, but still an A.
I've gone for a B. Maybe I'm judging it too much on him kind of expecting more from Danny Ric because he's Danny Ric. But I've gone for a B, which is it's definitely a lot better from him, but saving the A for when he wins the Monaco.
You're giving him
he doesn't
an
even
a.
get an A star for
A star.
Poor Fogg, he can't
yeah,
say
yeah, sorry.
Right.
Yeah, B. I've gone for B.
Okay.
Okay. I've gone for an A for Ricardo.
Screw you, Tommy.
Oh.
Pessimist.
Yeah. I think looking at how I've previously ranked Ricardo throughout the season, an A is fair for what he achieved this weekend.
What was the percent for Danny Rick A's? Was it close, Katie?
Can you give me 2 seconds?
Yeah, I'll give you 2 seconds. Don't worry. The fans gave Danny Rick a B. But I feel like maybe a lot of people would have voted him an A because I think that was, you know, he beat Lando Norris for his first time, isn't it, in the race?
Was it first time in the race?
Pretty sure. Lando definitely beat him in Bahrain, definitely beat him in Imola.
Yeah, of course.
He beat him in Portugal.
The fans gave him a B, 50% of the vote, and then A was 45% of the vote.
I knew it'd be close. Really? I knew it'd be close. Go on, the fans, but still kind of.
Someone gave him an E. Are you okay, Hunt?
Lando.
Lando. Speaking of Lando, let's move on to him now. I think it was a very bang average performance from Lando, although he was quite positive coming out of the race, wasn't he? He was saying that he did pretty much all he could do, kind of accepted it's Spain, which is kind of a good attitude to have, that, you know, he just didn't have a great weekend, move on, you know, see you in Monaco. But I think it's still a C for Lando.
Yeah, I've gone for C. Just mediocre. But if he's gonna take that as a mediocre performance, if he's still bringing home it in eighth and getting some good points from McLaren, I think he'll take that as a maybe slightly less impressive weekend compared to how he's been doing.
Yeah, I mean, the weekend could have gone way worse. So, you know, point scoring is still good. And yeah, I think C's fair for Norris.
And a C from the fans. Sergio Perez, I'm going to give him a D.
Oh, this is so tricky. No, I think a D as well. Because I was thinking he finished fifth, but he qualified eighth, which wrecked his
entire.
He shouldn't be qualifying eighth.
He had a good start. Don't get me wrong. He was up two places on lap one, but you got to be fourth, mate. You got to be fourth.
Cost your teammate the win as well.
Yeah.
Arguably.
Well, I'm going to go for a C for Checo because I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt with the shoulder injury. I can see you laughing at my thing. And I think wasn't great, but if he says he's poorly, then I'm not going to.
Poorly is such a, like,
make you feel better.
Someone's going to turn up to Monaco. He had a bit of a runny nose. Katie, yeah.
Katie's there with a hot water bottle. Like, don't worry, Checo, it's fine. We'll get you back to fourth place.
No, she's back to health.
The thing I found the weirdest thing was Perez saying he had like a shoulder injury or whatever, but then was like, yeah, I should be fine for tomorrow. It's like,
just pop it back in.
What shoulder injury just goes away after 24 hours?
It's because they heard Alex Albon was on the way and he was like, oh, I'm feeling much better now, guys, don't worry.
Well, yeah, he was lurking. But yeah, so Perez, I gave a D, and Katie C, and the fans went for C as well, but we give him a D. Max Verstappen, well, that would have almost been an A star had he won the race, but I feel like an A is where it sits. I think a high A, because I think he did absolutely everything he could in that Red Bull, but not quite an A star.
Yeah, exactly the same. A.
A.
A. And the fans gave him an A. Valtteri Bottas. Interesting. Very interesting. I think it's a B, but not very high. I mean, I was kind of thinking C, but I think he was, you know, a tenth and a half off in quali, obviously got done around the outside of Charles Leclerc, ruined his race, then held up. Maybe it is a C.
I think I'd have gone for a B if I'd given Perez a C, but because Perez is a D, I'm giving Bottas a C, if that makes any sense.
Sure. Yeah. Bottas a C.
I've gone for a B because of how I graded Checo, but I mean, he still finished third. Like,
yeah, if I give
awful.
Perez a D. Well, yeah, he's in a rocket ship.
That's nice. Verstappen is a better driver than him, so that's why he's ahead.
Yeah. But I mean, the fact is he wouldn't have finished any worse than third, just purely because there is no other car really, apart from Perez, unfortunately, can't get a handle of that Red Bull. So I think, yeah, see, and the fans gave him a B, so they're on your side, Katie. There you go.
They're wise people.
Until they don't agree with us. And finally, Lewis Hamilton. Now, I want to give him an A. I don't think it's an A star performance from Lewis. I think that obviously that Mercedes was quicker and the strategy was open for him to take that strategy. And yeah, okay, it was a great drive, but he had much fresher tyres and Max was quite I'm going to believe Max in the sense that he was saying that the Mercedes had so much more grip than him. I don't think it was an absolutely stunning, ridiculous drive from Lewis. So I want to give him an A.
I've gone for a star.
I've gone for a star as well. The speeds that he made up. I know he's in a Mercedes and people are going to be like, oh, you know, like you said, they're in a rocket ship, but that was just phenomenal. The amount of time that he managed to make up during that race.
Don't buy it. I mean, I'm the first to say that Lewis Hamilton's achievements are amazing. You know, that's the thing. I'm a Lewis Hamilton hater and fanboy. So people will, you know,
you're giving him the same grade you did. Did you give him an A in Imola when he went off and made a recovery drive?
God knows. Don't know.
We erase podcast from our memory as soon as we stop recording.
I'm sure someone will come in. I don't know. It was a great drive. Okay, and I'm just going to stick with A, otherwise I'll look like a pushover. And the fans gave him an A star, so woo, can't wait for those comments. But look, it was still a great drive. Okay, moving on. Predictions for the Spanish Grand Prix. I said Mercedes front row lockout. God damn it. And Alpine don't make Q3. God damn it, what's wrong with me? 0 points, Tommy.
You know what you should have gone for though, Matt? Stroll that qualifies Vettel.
Yeah.
You bottled it.
No, well, I'm a Vettel hater if I do it, but then as soon as I'm... Anyway, Tommy.
Sainz beats Leclerc in the race. Nope. And Vettel in the points. Nope.
Wow, we are really... We know still a lot no about points. Formula One. Katie. Oh, here we go.
I know something about Formula One, apparently. Ricciardo beats Norris. Ding, ding. Ding, ding. That's 1 point. And then a surprise podium, but I mean...
Ding, really dong, no.
Ding,
and but, the fans... Sorry, Kate, you're going to say something.
You're
going to lord in your predictions, aren't you?
I am. And I'm also going to just drop into conversation about the top 5 predictions for the race that we put out on social media yesterday.
Oh, here we go.
Because this deserves at least some points. I'm not having it say no.
Points?
Sorry?
Yes, points for what? I predicted the top 5 perfectly. And I want points. I'm going to start a petition. I'm going to get the fans on my side.
Don't you come over here and start throwing back. What, you're just going to make predictions for every race? And be like, actually, I made this prediction, so I'm just going to throw this in the mix.
You put it out on social media.
You make two predictions. You come in here, Katie, this season, and you think you can start changing the rules?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to start a GoFundMe with the fans.
Okay, well, I got 4 of them right. Can I have some points?
You can have 4 points. I have 5 points. And then double points for getting them all right. So
wow. So you're
10 points.
5 races worth of 100% score.
I wrote on Twitter that the race was actually better for no overtaking, which was technically correct. So I think I get 10 points for that.
Right. Nobody's getting any points for that in case someone
well,
is actually...
I'm going to sulk now. So
yeah, for people doing their spreadsheets that they do.
Yeah.
Where
do I put these 10 points? This doesn't make sense.
It's 1 point for a Norris prediction.
Well done, Katie. Congrats. That was a very good 5.
Better than
5
us.
Out of 5. I was 4 out of 5. Tommy was about, I think, 1 out of 5. He's just a terrible F1 fan. Fans, Arbon Elliott, not Albon Elliott. I think this person's been in here before because I think I've said exactly the same thing. Hamilton wins by 20 plus seconds. No, it was 15. C_McNaughton17, both Williams cars will have a Q2 appearance. No. And literally everyone Hambot Ver. Yeah, kind of. Actually, it was Hambot Bot. Does that
half
count?
Half a point. Half a point for the fans.
I thought they meant just that combination.
Yeah, it's hard to know if a Hambot Ver is a Hambot Ver, or it can be a Bot Ver Ham, or a Ham Ver Bot, or a Ver Bot Ham, or a Ver Ham.
Are you okay, Tommy? You sound like you're malfunctioning.
Speaking of malfunctioning, we're going to Monaco. The predictions for the Monaco Grand Prix. My 2 predictions are I will fall asleep during the race. No, it's not. But that would be a point. Perez not in the top 5. And Verstappen crashes at some point in the weekend. Tommy?
I've gone for neither Lewis or Max win.
Well, why don't you just say a Bottas win then, you boring man?
No, because you might be surprised.
So you're just opening up to a crazy race. Is that what you're saying?
And Ricciardo top 4 in quali.
Nice. I've gone for the most DNF so far this season and a Leclerc podium.
What is the most DNF so far this season, Katie?
I looked at that. I thought this was quite a...
Has it been like one DNF?
No, I thought that and was like, but there was 4 DNFs in Bahrain, so you're going to have to...
And there was less in Imola, wasn't there?
Yeah, you're going to have to hope 5 people crash into the wall.
Not that we'd hope to crash into the wall. No. But most DNFs, okay, all right, and Leclerc podium. I'll get on board with that. I'll give you a point right now, Katie, if that happens. Cool. The fans, Mimi Hopi, hopes that Charles Leclerc will win.
If you'd have just read that out, Mimi hoping Charles Leclerc wins. It would sound like you actually hoping that.
Mimi hoping Charles Leclerc was going to win. I'm definitely on board with. Tilka Trax says somehow Lewis out in Q2. And Dan 02475676. Why do so many people have so many long numbers? I think they do that just for the podcast. Danny Rick on the podium. So, okay, we've got a few that could mix in here with fans and our predictions. Cool. All right. Katie, final thoughts?
My final thoughts is that people need to remember that F1 is more than just overtakes and crashes and who has the fastest car. Strategy is a huge part to play. And sometimes I feel it's downplayed as an interesting part of the sport because so much of it happens behind the scenes. I got it written down and I still messed it up.
I could tell because you were like, you didn't even you said, yes. So I think the cars should, Tommy, final thoughts.
You're going to laugh at me, but I have never looked more forward to a Monaco Grand Prix than this year. I absolutely cannot wait for it. It's going to be an absolute banger. I can't wait.
And you might...
Qualifying is going to be amazing. You know what it was like at Imola? People just want it to be a bit mixed up. So, you know, it's going to be good. Can't wait.
You might think I'm lying here, but I'm genuinely looking forward to seeing the cars going around Monaco.
Missed it last year.
Yeah, I think it's because it's not been here for a year. And I just need a reminder of how bad it is. No, qualifying is going to be awesome around there. The race, we'll see. But it is one of those. Yeah, I think I finally got round to, because obviously we didn't have it last year. And then you kind of think, what would it be like? What would Formula One be like without a Monaco Grand Prix? And I'm on your side, Tommy. I think we should keep Monaco. I've changed my mind.
Tommy's
actually frozen. Oh, well, that was really good. You've got a career if WTF1 goes down the toilet as statues in London. Cool. All right. Thank you so much, guys. My final thoughts is, well, yeah, I can't look. I'm looking forward to the Monaco Grand Prix, and that's the first time in a very long time. And so let's see what happens. Should be good fun. But Max has to win, I think, in my opinion, if we want to keep a close title fight. It's a good opportunity. It's all down to quali. Let's see what happens. Right. Thank you so much to everybody for watching and listening. And to you, Tommy, and to you, Katie, for being part of this natter session. Thanks to ExpressVPN as well for sponsoring this podcast. Please give us 5 stars or whatever, thumbs up, however you rate us, because you know we deserve absolutely nothing less. Subscribe if you're new, and use the hashtag WTF1podcast if you want to be involved next time. Thank you so much to Tommy and Katie once again, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time for the Monaco Grand Prix. Goodbye.
Monaco.
All right, calm down. I'm not that excited.
Why are we doing this?
I don't know.
Cleaning,
washing the windows.